Good morning. Isn't it beautiful outside with the rain? Everything in life really carries its own beauty in its own way. And often with that beauty, it carries a lesson. If we can just experience it in the right season. Certain times of the year just seem to open us up to where our heart relates to something that is normally closed during the routines of life. We get sick, we think about how fragile our life is. We go to a cemetery and we see gravesides and we say, well, life is really short. Emotions and seasons often go hand in hand. And God often used those moments to impress some spiritual truths to us. This week we step into the season of Thanksgiving. And it invites us to pause for a moment to reflect, to let gratitude rise above the surface of our minds. So I considered this message this morning. It brought me back to those Old Testament scriptures that Jonathan read in Exodus chapter 23. God appointed specific reasons for his people to gather together. Feast of Israel wasn't just random holidays. I think it was sacred moments that was designed by God to help people to pause for a moment, to stop, to remember, to refocus their hearts on his greatness. So in these feasts, if you look very closely in verses 10 through 16, it talks about two. The Feast of Harvest, when the people offered first fruits to the Lord. And an interesting name, the Feast of Ingathering, at the end of the year when the full harvest is done and everything is stored away. Both of these feasts pointed to the same truth. And that is that God is good, and God provides. And they were given to an agricultural people who knew that every blessing, every crop really, every rain that they experienced, every season came from the hand of God. And God wanted them to remember that. My friends, that truth has not changed. Look around your own life. Look at your home. Look at your health. Look at your family. Look at your opportunities, the food that you eat, the strength in your body, the protection that's around your life. Every one of these blessings whispers the same message. God is good. God has been real good to you and to me. Many of us are going to gather this week around tables of food. We're going to be surrounded by loved ones. And in those moments, we're going to have the same opportunity that the Israelites had to pause long enough to acknowledge God's hand in the very good things that he has given us and to give him thanks to the one who has blessed us so richly. There was a teacher whose name was Lisa Tredwick Irby, and she was from Cleveland, Tennessee. And once she shared a captivating story that talked about the heart of Thanksgiving. She was reading one-on-one with a little first grader. And the first grader encountered the words thank you for the first time in print and didn't know how to pronounce them or what it meant. So Lisa encouraged the girl to break it down. Thank, she said. The little girl just sat there frozen. So Lisa, the teacher, got a little more forceful, and she said, thank. The little girl looked up in her sweet little Tennessee drawl and said, I've been thanking. She mixed up thinking with thanking. And as humorous as that may be, I think there is maybe something more profound than humor in it. maybe we need to make our thinking lead us into more thanking. The Apostle Paul concluded his letter to the Thessalonians with an unmistakable command. So if you want to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it reads in part like this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So in a sense, Paul is saying, Christian, now what are you supposed to say? And the obvious answer is we're supposed to say, thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving's not just merely a holiday to get us out of work. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It is a cultivated way of seeing the world in the habit of the heart and a way to draw us closer to God on a daily basis. Let's think about that this morning. The first is this. The giving of thanks is a habit to be learned. We're human. Gratitude doesn't come to us naturally. It's a learned habit, cultivated discipline. It's got to be shaped through intentional practice. If we're left out on our own, what do? We find all the things to gripe about. We complain about all the inconveniences and the troubles and the difficulties. And that gets a lot more focus from us than ever giving thanks for something that comes along that's right in our life. Scripture repeatedly is trying to train us to be thankful. You can turn over to the book of Luke to the 17th chapter and remember in verses 11 through 19 about the occasion in which Jesus healed the 10 lepers. 10 men whose lives were nothing but suffering and isolation and hopelessness. And yet, when Jesus healed them, only one man returned. And all the others were equally blessed. But only one person had developed the habit of gratitude. Gratitude has to be learned. I read a story about a lady named Jean Chanel who worked in a very unique crisis hotline. And over the years, she developed a number of skills that proved very beneficial in what she was doing. She was a quick thinker. She had a calm demeanor. She was a smoothing voice, and she had a whole lot of common sense. And she happened to be the director of the Butterball Turkey's Turkey Talk Line. And she had done this for 17 years. So every day, she and others, there were actually 48 in her group, receiving calls from people who were frantically trying to prepare their turkey for Thanksgiving dinner, people calling saying that they left the giblets out of the turkey. What do? They forgot to defrost the turkey. And one even had put the turkey in and, unbeknownst to her, turned the oven and locked it into self-cleaning cycle. So throughout November and December, Jean and all of her nutritionists answered these calls. And then one day, Jean took a call from a lady in Florida whose house had been severely damaged by a hurricane that had just come through. Apparently, as they discussed it, the roof was ruined and debris was everywhere. Their life were in pieces. But this lady was determined that she was going to cook a Thanksgiving dinner and needed help. Jean said, why? Because, the woman said, we still have so much to be thankful for. That lady understood gratitude. She didn't wait for the perfect circumstances. She chose to be thankful, even in the midst of a storm. Many of us today have lost the habit, if we ever had it, of saying, thank you, God. We notice what breaks, what spills, what frustrates us, and we overlook all the blessings that God continually gives us. One man learned that habit well. of getting gratitude. You may have noted him if you're a Bible study scholar. His name was Matthew Henry, very famous commentator. He was robbed one day. And he happened to keep a diary, a journal, if you will. And he wrote this. Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. That's not denial. That's a spiritual maturity producing gratitude, even with difficulties. There's a popular list that often circulates at this time of the year around Thanksgiving. Reasons that maybe burdens are really blessings in disguise. Let me just share some portion of it. I am thankful for the teenager complaining about doing dishes because it means she's home, not on the streets. I'm thankful for taxes because it means I have an income. I'm thankful for a messy house after company because it means I have friends who came to visit. I'm thankful for snug-fitting clothes because it means I have plenty to eat. I'm thankful for a long walk from the parking lot because it means I'm able to walk. I'm thankful for aching muscles because it means I was able to work hard. I'm thankful for early morning alarms because it means God has given me another day of life. And it concludes by saying, I am thankful for Jesus, who taught us that we have a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us, knows our needs, never leaves us alone, even in the darkest of life. All of these reminders give us the same simple truth, that gratitude doesn't come naturally. It's got to be learned. We talk about bad habits, habits we wish break, habits that harm us. But we have to remember a simple principle. We make our habits, and then our habits make us. So if you can become a grateful person, it will be because you have consciously chosen to develop and practice gratitude until it shapes your very heart, and you do it without thinking. Gratitude grows with. The more often you say thank you, the more reasons you begin to notice to say it again. The second thought this morning. The giving of thanks produces joy. Giving of thanks is a lot more than just fulfilling a religious duty. It does more than just showing courtesy to someone. Thank you. More than acknowledging a blessing. The practice of gratitude actually produces joy, deep joy. Not only in the heart of God, but in the heart of others and in your own heart. Your parent, maybe this has occurred, I hope it has. A child turns to you and says, thank you. Makes something warm happen within the parent. Father's heart softens when a child turns to him and says, Dad, I love you and I'm grateful for what you show me. And her mother, her heart just glows when someone turns to her and says, Mom, thank you for everything you do. Those expressions may be simple, but they carry the weight of love and of appreciation. And if they warm our hearts as parents, think about how much more, how deeply they warm the heart of our Heavenly Father. God is delighted when people come to him not simply with our hands outstretched saying, God, I need, asking for a blessing, and we have a habit of doing that, don't we? But with hands lifted up in worship saying, thank you, God. We're always saying, God, give me. God, fix this. God, help me. And God invites us to bring us our needs to him, and he does indeed help and fix. But how often do we say before any of those requests happen, Lord, thank you for everything, for everything. Yes, gratitude brings joy to God, but gratitude also brings joy to others. When was the last time you turned to your spouse and said, I appreciate you more than you know? When was the last time you thanked your mother or your father, perhaps, for the lifetime of love that they have had for you? Or you reached out to a friend or to a coworker and simply said, thank you for what you mean to me. I'm glad I can come to you in my need. You might be surprised how rarely people actually hear genuine thanks, and how deeply it touches them when we express it to them. Gratitude softens hearts. It strengthens relationships. It heals misunderstandings. It turns ordinary moments into meaningful events. And while gratitude brings joy to God and it brings joy to others, it also brings joy to you, to our own soul. There's a story told about a little boy who was given the task one day to make a list of all the good things that he had and all the bad things that had happened to him. So he started with all the good things first, and he began to write all of those things. We would call them blessings. And when he got to the end, there were so many, and he was so joyous that he forgot to list any of the bad things that had happened. Isn't that the way it is with us? That's exactly how gratitude works. It shifts the focus. It lifts your spirit. It brings joy that circumstances cannot steal. Scripture confirms this, and I guess you could say one of the most beloved verses about prayer, and it's found over in the book of Philippians, if you want to turn there, in the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice the phrase, with thanksgiving. That turns the key of the whole promise around. Thanksgiving opens the door to peace, that scripture says. Gratitude calms the anxious heart. And a thankful prayer is a powerful prayer. Final thought this morning. The habit of giving can be developed. The wonderful thing about gratitude is it's not reserved only for those that are naturally cheerful. We know those kind of people. Those optimistic people that we always run into. It's not about those that are doers or those who are not doers of gratitude. It's a spiritual habit. Like all habits, it can be developed, can be cultivated, strengthened. It can be woven into the very fabric of your life. How do we do that? Let me give you some suggestions. First, begin by being grateful today. Yep, right where you are. Gratitude always starts in the present moment. Not when life is perfect, not when every prayer is answered, not when all the problems have disappeared. Gratitude begins right now with what God has already done. There's an old saying that gratitude is the memory of the heart. Remember that. When you stop and remember the blessings of God, what he has given you, something beautiful happens. Faith grows, peace strengthens, joy deepens. So start today by simply saying thank you to someone, God, others. Second thought, search intentionally for things to be grateful for. I mean, sometimes we feel, oh, we're the most unfortunate person in the whole world. Look at all the burdens that we have. Look how discouraged we are. But even amidst all of that, if you happen to be suffering through that at the moment, there's still reasons to be thankful. The problem is not that God hasn't blessed us. The problem is we haven't trained ourselves to look for the blessings. So look for them, search for them, hunt for them. And if you look long enough for the blessings, you're going to find they far outnumber the burdens. Third thought. Express gratitude even for the small things. You may go out to eat. Some waiter, waitress, may be dealing with 100 people today. Well, what happens if you say thank you to that person? Might make the whole shift worthwhile. Teacher may pour life into her students. All here is gripes, complaints, whatever. Have you ever called, seen one, said, thank you for teaching the young people of our world? A friend going through a hard moment. Your gratitude may be the reminder that they matter to you. People blossom under gratitude. Your very words carry a lot of power. How long since you have written a note, picked up the phone, texted a message, I am thankful for you? I bet it's been too long. Fourth thought. Look for ways to express thanksgiving every day. What did we read in Thessalonians 5, verse 18? In everything, give thanks, it says. So that doesn't leave us guessing when we ought to give or for what we ought to give thanks for. God's not mysterious on this point. He wants you to become a thankful person. Why? Because really he's being glorified not by our groanings, but by our gratitude to him and to others. Fifth, practice thanksgiving. By practicing thanks living. Albert Schweitzer, you know him, the theologian, the magician, the physician, the Nobel Prize winner. He was a humanitarian and he wrote this. In gratitude for your own good fortune, you must render in return some sacrifice of your life for another life. That means taking our gratitude from our lips and putting them into action. Thanksgiving means living the life God gave you with courage, with joy, with a clear sense of purpose. It means passing forward the kindness that you have received by becoming the kind person who lifts other people up. It means meeting new opportunities with faith, seeing them as doors to step through, not weights to avoid. It means adding beauty to the world because you recognize God's fingerprint in everything. It means letting the inspiration of God overflow into your life, inspire someone else. It means honoring the strength and the health that you possess by caring for the body he entrusted to you. It means receiving each day as a gift and using it fully, wisely, and gratefully for his glory. Boy, I said a lot, but it can all be summed up in one simple statement. Thanksgiving at its core is not a holiday. It's a way of living. It's the natural, the appropriate response to a life that is touched by God. What's the greatest way that we can show gratitude to God for who and what he is? By becoming a Christian, following in the path of his son. He said, come to me through faith, through repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is Christ, by being baptized to wash away those sins, and then rise to live a thanks-living life. Come if you will, as we stand today.